Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Good evening. I'm sorry we had a lot of technical difficulties, but we thank the Lord. Amen. This is Infusion, Prophetic Moment Infusion, a live pastoral open forum, and my lovely wife, she's here.
Amen. This is Dr. Clarice Cheney. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And we have in the studio two powerful men of God that's going to really minister to you. This sort of like the second, and we have also with us...
And Prophet Walter Evans.
Amen. We're going to let the man of God introduce himself.
Pastor Virgil Jones, Jr., Philippian Community Church.
And Pastor Herbert Bartley, Impacting Lives Christian Ministries.
Amen. He's standing up. See, he's young and youthful, and I can't stand up like that.
I receive it.
Amen. And so we're just going to jump into it because the time is short. Last time we talked about Pastor Jones, Virgil Jones, he was here, and he was just such a blessing man of God. And mm-hmm. Pastor Colby, he was here. And we were talking about the condition of the church and the hour that we're living in. What I want to do, I want to put a twist in, because the fact that the Holy Spirit says, the word of the Lord said, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Mm-hmm. And then the sons and daughters, and where we're at. And that's just not saying that that daughter, that son can specifically have dreams or visions. All of us, because we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're empowered by the grace of God. And I wanted to ask this to Pastor Jones, since you're part of a big community church for many years. Have you seen the power, residue of the power of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. I think that's the one thing that is the heartbeat of the church. I think in the book of Acts, that's what allowed the church to turn the tide in the Roman government and turn the world upside down.
Yes.
People have been preaching for years. You know, you had religious folk that had been preaching for years. Yes. But what they were missing were the power. And the book of Mark says the one thing they observed about Christ is that he was one that spoke with authority. Yes. And that same authority and power he allowed to be given on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And so because of that power, it shows up in our churches now. And I am grateful because it doesn't show up in every church.
Yes.
And so when you're in a church where the power shows up, you need to be seated and stayed and connected.
Amen. That's awesome. Pastor Bartley, man, when it comes down to religion versus the supernatural power of God, how can we defer that? How can we understand what is religious and commercial from the authentic power of God?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with vernacular and what you say. Mm-hmm. Because many people say things that God didn't say and get no manifestation. Mm-hmm. So when they spoke in the days of the Pentecost, as he said in the book of Acts, Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, so forth. But we have to declare what God says and not what religion or tradition brings forth.
Come on,
that's what takes away from the power of what God is doing in this hour.
Amen. And that is so powerful, man. I've got y'all saying it. Pastor Virgil, do you see many of the people, especially young people, filled with the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yes. And not only that, we are experiencing miracles. I just saw a young lady about 2 days ago, and the doctors gave her about 2% chance to live. And I went out of town with my family 1 week. She was on her way out. No voice, no brain activity for over 30 days.
Wow.
And when I got back in town, when I walked in the door, she said, hey, Pastor Jones. The power of God is present. It's evident in our young people. It's evident in our youth. And one thing I always try to keep in mind, as long as you can stay hungry, God can continue to feel.
Wow.
And so the problem is never on God. It's not just with us staying hungry. But yes, we are seeing it in this generation, in the coming generations, the power of God being evident in their lives.
Amen. And so the manifestation of God's glory, because I understand that a lot of times the pastors, what we do, we want to implement discipleship.
Right.
And then there are those that are, you know, years ago, especially when I was younger, we were told to go and come at the altar. Yeah, that's been years ago.
Yes.
To say Jesus. Yes. And one popular preacher said years ago, that's the only way that he got it. Wow. From being on the altar, is it a specific model, or I call it almost like a continuing of just gestures of religiosity? I call it dogma. That we have a method of seeking the Lord for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Bartley, how do we come and we connect the young people within the church to get a hold of the Holy Ghost?
Well, I think the authenticity of the faith is to get the authenticity of the Spirit of the move of God is getting their faith to a level to receive what God is doing. It's by His grace, not so much as His favor, as His mercy, which is His favor that's on us, but Him empowering us through His Spirit to do what's needed. Notice on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when they were all filled, they spoke as the Spirit gave utterance. And I don't think just the utterance is what's being said. I think there's a demonstration in what we do. Conversation is just not what comes out of your mouth, but a demonstration of what you do by faith.
Yes. And Pastor Virgil, are we influencing? I'm going to let you come in, Prophet Evans. Pastor Virgil, are we influencing the millennials to seek after not just being empowered with dunamis or exousia, but that relationship where as the Holy Spirit, at the end of the day, beloved, those that are listening, we're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we believe so much in this time that we're not being moved or we're not being challenged in the Holy Spirit. And so are we making more of an impact to challenge the youth of millennials to seek the Holy Spirit?
I believe in certain churches that we are. Probably and not all, but I think that is the challenge of the church in today's time. Right. Millennials, they come up in the day and time where they can have what they want when they want it. And if they don't want it, they can walk off and leave it. There is no challenging to this generation. And so when you come to the body of Christ and Christ begins to challenge you, then all of a sudden there can become some discrepancies. But I think that it is upon us as preachers to connect with other preachers that we put a demand on the millennials as well.
Oh, that's good.
We don't want to run your way, but even Christ himself said that if you're going to follow me, the first thing you got to do is deny yourself.
Yeah.
And then after all of that denying, you got to pick up your cross.
Come on now.
And so we can't shortchange the gospel or compromise the gospel so that it can be comfortable for the millennials. Christ never came to make you comfortable.
But he came
to challenge you. And so I think it is some parts of the body of Christ are challenging the millennials, but I think we have to do a better job to still show them love, not condemnation, but make sure that we challenge them, because you'll be surprised. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up, because the more I talk, the better I feel. Last month, I've been jogging for a little while. I went on Facebook and somebody had a 75 mile run challenge for the month of July. I never would have reached 75 miles running if I never would have been challenged. And so the church can't be afraid to challenge this generation, because if we challenge them, we'll be surprised at what they might do.
Pastor Bartley,
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Very powerful. I was listening to Pastor Virgil talking. It's social relativism or being relevant in the time, and how to differentiate between compromise and being witty in our ability to minister.
That was my next question too, but go ahead, man of God.
Well, no, that's something I think that we need to, really think about. Those are one of the hard questions, especially within this hour, because we're so conditioned to church and understanding what it is. We've been influenced by things that may not necessarily being a move of God. We've adopted it and we've tried to replicate what was not intended for the church to be doing in today's world. So people like Pastor Jones, when he mentions that and him being relevant and understanding, discerning, and getting an unction from the Holy Spirit, it may be things that's unorthodox or things that people may not understand or know. Like Noah, he built an ark. Never been done before. They didn't rain. And he did something that nobody ever done, which proved that he believed the word of God. And as a result, what brought judgment to others, the church was lifted up and was kept and was saved. But I think that there is a challenge in this hour to be relevant or relating to the young generation without compromising at the same time.
Is the church compromising more authoritative or more dominant than the issue at hand for a believer, especially the millennials, to achieve, I call it spiritual adaptation, to grow in the things of God? Right. We're trying to be so translucent with the young, with the youth, and you was talking about Pastor Virgil, to the fact that we're trying to get them involved in the church, but we tell them about the ministry, but we forget about the God of the ministry. You wanted to say some prophet?
Going back to what Pastor Bartley said earlier, it's the words. The Bible says in Acts that God confirmed the word that was preached by the apostles by the laying of hands, and miracles took place. When we're saying what God says and doing what God says do, miracles will take place because God is the confirmation.
Amen. And you go ahead, Pastor.
I just want to throw this in there very quickly as we're dialoguing about the millennials and just being relevant. Mm-hmm. I bake cakes. I do one cake. My father taught me how to bake, right? Mm-hmm. I love to bake this cake. Mm-hmm. I have one of my children. She loves the cake, but she doesn't like the pecans and the icing. Mm-hmm. And so one day she told me, she said, "Daddy, I love the cake." She said, "But I just need you to make me one without the pecans and the icing." Mm-hmm. And so through that, the Holy Spirit began to tell me, he said, "That's how the word is. Wow. I don't need you to change the cake. The cake is the word." But every now and then, you might have to shape up that ice.
Come on.
So
now
somebody else can digest it. Mm-hmm. So the church has to pray and ask for wisdom on what to do with the icing.
Glory.
And so if you're too religious, you don't even want to change the icing.
Oh, wow.
Because grandma did it like that. And great-grandma did it like that. But we must not be afraid to shift the icing, but keep the cake.
Right. But keep the cake. Still have the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because signs, wonders, and miracles... Mm-hmm. We always define that as the scripture tells us, anyone sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Mm-hmm. But we identify the scripture when it says that I shall pour my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, after that, which is the Holy Spirit, the original Hebrew would be set apart spirit to consecrate it, come upon us, we shall have dunamis. Mm-hmm. And so do y'all just believe that is just for the pastors and the elders of the church and not the disciples rising up in the authority and the power, Pastor Bartley?
No, I believe it's for everybody.
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe. That's mm-hmm. the key to it all. And so if we understand the fact that if we believe what God said, then we'll be empowered to manifest it. I always say a lot, the disciples that followed Jesus were not saved. And people are like, what do you mean? Well, Jesus had not died yet. He had not been resurrected yet. Yes. He had not shed blood yet. Mm-hmm. But they followed them. But because they believed him, all things were possible. You know, it's not that they could do. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. But with God, all things are possible to them that believe. So they believed. Yes. And as a result of it, you know, they had a manifestation. And another thing, it depends on the level of belief that you have.
Yes.
Because it came to pass where they could not cast out devils. They said, why could we not do this? We had the formula. But it's the level of faith that you have that's going to cause the manifestation.
Oh, that's my. That's a relationship. Our relationship, Pastor Virgil. Mm-hmm. Our relationship. Because, and keep going back to what Pastor Bartley said, he said, these kind go about but by fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. They understood who Jesus was for as formality, but they didn't know him personally. Right.
Very good.
That personified relationship of Jesus, are we seeing that in the church, that we know him for what we know him because he had revealed himself to us? Do you believe that the revealing of Messiah is stronger now or years ago?
I have to be 100% honest with you. I believe that even though the church may have had less in those days, the exemplification of the revelation of Christ and the lifestyle was more. I believe that there was more of a dependency.
Yeah.
Whereas now we've kind of made it out the backwoods. We've got a little bit more money now, a little bit more clout now.
Come on.
And so sometimes the dependency can kind of take a falter. Mm-hmm. But it's our job as the men of God to continue to blow the horn.
Right.
As women of God to continue to preach this word and begin to challenge the people to allow the Spirit of God to lead them. First of all, be filled with it, and then be led, because you can't be led with something that you ain't filled
with.
We, as ministers of God, have to make sure that we drive home the point of consistently staying full of the Spirit
Jesus.
Of God.
It is
our job as being watchmen on the wall.
Absolutely.
You know, if the people don't get it, it's not because God isn't sending it from heaven. Mm. But as Pastor Bartley was saying earlier, we got to be able to echo this thing.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, you can lose the echo.
That's right.
Yes. Go ahead, Prophet.
He will satisfy the hungry. What you're saying is to stay hungry, and he'll continue to satisfy us. He'll continue to feel.
That's it.
Wow.
Stay home. Amen. Amen. Altar calls. Do we need them, Pastor Bartley? Is it? Ooh. Should we do the same as we did 30 years ago? in this hour, in this season.
Well, I think, you know, you have the perpetual altar call at times, and what it can do is, because it becomes religious, it loses its effect, loses its power. Just because you have an altar call and people come to the altar doesn't mean that they're authentically saved or been delivered or set free. And so what we're doing is, when you see people every week coming over and over and over again, are we being impacting? Are we being effective? Or are we just mimicking something that looks like power without manifesting real power? So that's I think the altar is a place of faith. I think it's a place where that God demonstrates his power. But as people begin to think cognitively concerning what this place is, if they're thinking carnally, all they see is the steps and the stage. But when you're in the Spirit, You know, you go to that place that Abraham went to, going yonder to worship.
Yes.
And presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. I don't think that people are coming with the anticipation of leaving different than they came. Mm. A lot of times, the visitor just coming alone may satisfy people that are around. And that's
That's so good. Yeah. Piggybacking on what you just said, Pastor Virgil, he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. How do we get it to the young people to walk in holiness? But yet still, I believe they call it keeping your swag, but not compromising, but walking in that holiness, presenting your body fully, the spirit, mind, and soul to God.
I think it has to do with teaching. The Bible said that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. I think we as the church can't remember where we've come from. So many times you've had trial and error, and God has allowed you to mature in this thing. And now you want to take your mature state and transfer to them, and they're baby Christians. You know, when my child was 4 months old, I wasn't expecting for them to run and jump and do college.
I understood
that there was a growth process. So I think when it deals with holiness, when you come, when you receive Christ, holiness comes in. But there is a maturity, there is a growing, there is a developing of the body of Christ. And so whenever you come at a hard line of holiness or hell, you begin to make people feel that they are less than because they make a mistake. Not that it's not holiness or hell, but it has to be the point to where if you make a mistake, you have to realize that God has not thrown away.
Yes.
I understand that God can forgive you. He don't want you to live in the lifestyle, but he wants you to get up off your feet, brush yourself off, and continue to live. And so when you deal with presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, that Christ makes us holy. But if you should make a mistake, understand that the blood has already been spilled on Calvary.
Yes, Lord, to forgive you.
Is he pleased with that? Of course not. But will he give you an opportunity to make it better? Yes, he will.
Hallelujah. But Pastor, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a lot of times we look at things directionally when it's not really directional. We look at the state of the church thinking it's going down when God is actually predestined a prophetic season where that things may seem like it's not working. For example, promotion is not directional, it's advancing. The Bible said that promotion cometh not from the north, south, east, directional, but it comes from the Lord. He puts one up and set another down. If God sets you down, they're saying that's promotion. Like, for example, again, it's not directional.
Very
it's good. Advancing.
Yes, that's real good.
Joseph's promotion was the pit.
Yes,
you know, he went down. Joseph, you know,
that's a
Jonah's
good one.
Jonah's promotion was the whale. He went down. Jesus's promotion was the grave. He went down into the lower parts. So anything that's in your future that may be a down in your future, that's promotion. It's getting you to the next place. And I think we're looking at things through the wrong eye, and our perception is causing us to see it negatively, even though the grave seemed to be negative, or the fish seemed to be negative, or the pit seemed to be negative. It's actually ushering us forth. And the reason why I say all this in conjunction with Pastor Virgil was saying is the fact that God is doing things in this hour, I think, on purpose, leaving us seemingly in an area where there's no power, just to prove we can get back to him. But God sanctioned this season for
something. Yes, that is good.
Full control.
That's good.
That's good.
Prophet.
It's called training season. God would take, it's like the analogy of a pilot flying a plane. When a pilot's flying a plane, he's constantly looking at the instruments to make sure he's level, make sure his positioning in the sky so it won't crash or hit the ground. That's how it is when we're going in God. We're gonna continue to adjust ourselves by the word to make sure we're on course.
And that's real good too, Prophet. Pastor Virgil, the scripture tells us, you will know them by the fruit that they bear, disciples. You and Pastor Bartley, man, y'all just blessing a lot of people that are out there. To that young man, to that young woman, they would say, man, I messed up. How do I know that I'm filled? And it's a good one. How do I know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost when sometimes I mess up?
I understand. I believe that the fact has to be that you got to realize that God is not a get up and walk out and leave every time you make a mistake.
Oh, yes.
All right. If that was the case, he'd be worse than a sorry baby daddy.
Preach.
But he's not worse than an infant.
Yes.
So understanding the love of God, and I don't think that we as human beings can fully appreciate or comprehend the love of God, and understanding that all it takes is repentance to get you back in right standing. And so I think that message would allow them to know that, yes, you were filled with the Spirit and you made a mistake. But because God will never take our free will.
Yes.
But after the mistake, in order to come back into proper fellowship, there has to be repentance.
Yes.
And so when sin enters in, it breaks fellowship. But in order to rekindle the fellowship, there has to be repentance.
Yes.
And so I think the body of Christ and those that are young, if you have made a mistake, I'm here to tell you that God has not thrown you away.
Jesus.
But you do need to repent to come back in proper fellowship.
Amen.
He said in order to have fellowship with God, you got to walk in the light.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
you
if
do.
If you're not in the light, there is no fellowship. And so fellowship is the key to knowing that I can walk and stay full of the power and the presence of God.
Amen. You wanted to say something, Dr. Chang?
I'm sorry. I'm burning over here, man.
No, man of God, you're just doing it.
Yes, you are.
Man, I started to take that towel and just...
God is so awesome. I love what you were saying. But I want to say, to add on to that, just piggyback on what you're saying, and when you God bring you out of that and you can repent, do not allow the enemy to bring condemnation on you. Because what he does, he keep reminding you what you done. But you got to understand, God will put in the seal of forgiveness. He love you more than ever. Amen.
Amen.
That's where people fail at. Mm-hmm. When God, they know that God loved them, but they constantly let the enemy dwell on what they have done.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And they condemn them. Well, I want to ask this, and then I'm going to go back to you, Pat, Prophet, because I know the man of God, Pastor Bartley, has been preaching for many years, anointed to do what he do. The gospel message, is hail a part of the gospel message? Or do we see that we need more of the message of hail or more of the message of Jesus?
I think we need more of the message of Jesus because sin consciousness only makes you more conscious of sin. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the more you think about it, the more. But I think, most people say the wages of sin is death. That's not the gospel.
Come on now, preacher.
The gospel is, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's just it's a half truth. You understand?
Come on.
Many people can extract out of the word what they want to use and make it seem like that's what God is saying. And they're using words or the logos. But they're not actually using the whole gospel message, and that's what takes away from it.
Oh, and that's awesome. Yeah. Go ahead, real quick.
That is so good.
Prophet.
Two things. The gospel is the good news.
Come on.
So if you're not preaching the good news.
Good news.
Bad news makes people bad.
So, and I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to have Pastor Virgil, amen, to commentary on this. When we talk about hell, is that the Bible say that the Spirit of the Lord, he has not appointed us unto wrath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are not appointed unto wrath. When a child of God begin to come into or born again, that born again genea being begotten of, their nature and their spirit have changed. Mm-hmm. Now we become a quickened in the spirit.
Right.
And so do you think hell, when we do preach, and I want everybody to say, I'm not talking against hell or for it, nothing like that.
Amen.
But I want everybody to know that when it comes down to a believer, should they be thinking about the kingdom rather than the damnation of Sheol?
You have to say kingdom minded. Yes, anything other than that will cause you not to fulfill the purpose of God upon your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it is a danger, in my opinion. This is my Holy Ghost.
Go ahead, man of God.
But it's a danger to have a overly charged hell message.
Yeah.
Because you have believers that are sitting in your pews that are walking out, and they're literally living in fear instead of walking in love and in power.
Yes,
now, Christ, when he was here, he mentioned hell in different metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
But his main message was a message of love and also covering.
Yes.
He said, well, love and kindness have I drawn. Not with the message of
torment and destruction. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I believe that we have to be more kingdom minded. And when you're more kingdom minded, you begin to do kingdom things.
Yes.
And when you do kingdom things, you begin to please him. And then when you do die, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Wow. Go ahead, Prophet.
One last thing. Ezekiel 16, this is God's mindset about it. He says, when I saw you polluted in your own blood, yea, I said unto thee, live. So when people make a mistake and they're polluting their own blood, God saying he's going to come and heal you and deliver you and that you will live again.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And you know, what we're saying here, beloved, is that just because you've done something wrong doesn't identify that you're not a child of God.
Right.
Amen.
And like Pastor Virgil was saying and Pastor Bartley was saying and Prophet, repent. And turn away from those sins and let the Most High God, because if you have fellowship him, you know him. You know who he knows who he is. The Bible says that a stranger will not hear my voice and they will not follow a stranger. And a stranger, now watch this right. You have to understand, when you hear the voice of God, you would go to him. See, yes. And so when God speaks, you would hear his voice. Mm-hmm. If you're a stranger, you will not only just hear his voice, won't hear his voice, but you'll go to someone else. Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Praise mm-hmm. the Lord. Amen. I just wanted to throw this in here real quick. It also keeps people in bondage. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. And that's not that's the right. good news. No, praise amen. The Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we want to invite you to come out to Soul Harvest Ministries. Praise God. We're at 575 Oak Leaf Plantation Parkway in the clubhouse. Amen.
Amen.
Our services start at 11:30 a.m. And we thank you for fellowshipping with us today.
And I want to thank, amen, Pastor Virgil Jones and Pastor yes. Herbert Bartley.
Thank you.
And also Prophetess, Prophetess Dr. Cheney and also Prophet Evans for being a part of that. Tune in till next week. God bless you.
Be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.